Good evening. So before I read the scripture here, let me give a little bit of an update. 2 full days and 2 partial days, I'm at the Root Cellar, which is mainly working with children, building a relationship with them, getting into the community some, and serving there. It's very rewarding. It's also very challenging at times, but overall it's been very good for me. And the other rest of the time, I'm at the Last Sheaf building material exchange. We take in supplies and sell supplies, and that's been really good to do other work and to be involved with the community some, with helping deliver some stuff and pick up some stuff. So that's been very rewarding. As far as prayer concerns, probably one of them would be guidance and direction. There's a lot going on up there, and that would probably be one of them. Also, for the Root Cellar, there's some changes in staff and things there. So appreciate prayer for that, that things would go smoothly and the children don't always do the best after a major change like that. So appreciate your prayer for that also. The scripture for this evening is from 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 to 17. 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This time, let us kneel for prayer.
Greetings tonight in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The subject tonight is the inspiration of Scripture. Brother Ray, I don't think I told you what the topic was tonight, did I? Okay, very good. Thank you for what you've shared. Thank you, Brother Aaron, for sharing tonight. Appreciate that and hearing about what's going on up in Maine. Some of the content here tonight, I can't tell you I totally remember this, but it's very probable that my wife, Chris, research some things here for me. The majority of the sermon tonight is a set of notes that are 24 years old. It was a prayer meeting here at Pleasant Hill. And you'll probably pick up on some of the content that my wife, I'm pretty sure she, when it took some time and some research, she was there helping me. Having said that, I'm not really joking when I tell you that someone like me, you might want to put up for re-election because I'm not the same person. The inspiration of Scripture. There are three major texts that we want to take a close look at, somewhat of a close look at least, concerning the inspiration of Scripture. The first one being what Brother Aaron read, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14 to 17. And then we're going to see what Peter says, and then we're going to see what the Hebrew writer says, plus some other thoughts here tonight. And I realize a lot of this is repeat for some of you, for a lot of you, but I also believe there will be some tonight, maybe here, maybe watching, maybe listening in, who may really be able to benefit from this look at God's Word and where it came from. And as Brother Ray opened there and talked about the Word of God as one of those things that will not change, I guess I always believed that, And before 2025, I certainly believed in the Word of God. But somehow it has become far more meaningful and precious. And I need to know that it is forever settled in heaven. And that it will never change. So many promises in God's word have already been fulfilled. So many about the first coming. When Jesus came the first time as a lamb. Even as John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Even so, it is just as sure and just as true that Jesus is going to come again. And when he does, a lot of graves are going to break open. I've visualized that already, or tried to, and I don't know how that's going to be, if it's all going to be calm and quiet, or if it's just going to send a sod flying, I'm not sure. But hallelujah for that day that's coming. 2 Timothy, if you have your Bibles open, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Continue. The encouragement here, the admonition here, is to continue, to not stop. Remain. Remain in these truths, in these doctrines, these truths of God and his word that you have learned. Timothy learned from his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois the importance of you sisters in the church, in your families, mothers and grandmothers. The Bible clearly instructs you to instruct the younger, to instruct the younger sisters. And here we have Timothy. He learned, he was taught, and now he's to continue in that and be steadfast in that and remain in that. What he learned from mother and what he learned from grandmother, Eunice and Lois. Verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." It's the only salvation available to mankind. There is no other name given among men whereby you must be saved. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy, from a child you've known these scriptures. And if you didn't know them from a child, you can learn them now. Because they are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, through believing on the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Not just any writings can have this set of them. In fact, no others do. But the Holy Bible, the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God can have this said about them, that they are able to make thee wise unto salvation, which is in Jesus Christ. Verse 16, a very well-known passage here, a very well-known verse of Scripture, all Scripture. That word "all" starts it out here, A-L-L, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable for you tonight. It is profitable for me. If we only read it and if we only meditate on it and only believe it and apply it to our lives, it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The original language here is telling us that all Scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. It came forth from God. He breathed it. From the very breath of God, we have the Holy Scriptures. We have the Bible tonight. A book like no other book. The most valuable book you can ever lay your hands on and pick up and open up. and heed. All scripture is inspired. It is God-breathed. Profitable. Why? Because of who the author is. God Almighty. Doctrine. What is doctrine? It is what we believe concerning the scriptures. It is what is true from God. Doctrine. Reproof. Reproof in the Word of God tells me what is wrong in my life. What is not right in my life. That is reproof. Correction tells me and it tells you how to correct what is wrong. Instruction in righteousness tells you and I how to live. It tells us how to conduct ourselves. It tells us how to behave as we live godly lives, redeeming the time. Instruction in righteousness, instruction in living out our daily lives. All these are only possible because the scripture is God-breathed. It is profitable. It is doctrine. It is reproof. It is correction. It is instruction in righteousness. All because it is straight from the very breath of God. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Perfect. That the man of God and the woman of God might have everything needed to please God. To live a life that honors God and pleases God. Perfect. Complete. Mature. Is what that word carries with it. It's not that I'm never going to fail again. It's not that you're never going to fall short again. It's that we might be complete and mature and have everything we need. And we get it from the Word of God. From the Word of God, we find that and we get that which can make us complete and mature thoroughly, completely, through and through, thoroughly furnished, equipped to be busy in our lives doing good works for the honor and glory of God. Being there for other people. Showing the other people the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bringing hope to other people. Bringing help to Christian and non-Christian. That the man of God might be completely, thoroughly furnished, equipped for all good doing to the benefit of others, to the honor and the glory of God. 2 Peter, our second scripture here tonight, 2 Peter and chapter 1, 19 to 21. 2 Peter, chapter 1, 19 through 21. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake. They spake as they were moved by the very breath of God, by the Holy Ghost. Verse 20 says, no private interpretation. That is, the individual writer did not originate the prophecy. He wrote as he was moved by the Holy Ghost. You know, the word moved there in verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved, by the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 27, Acts chapter 27, verse 15, the same word is used here. Acts chapter 27, verse 15, this word moved, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Acts 27, 15 says, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. It's the same word. It's the same word there. Same word translated drive there in Acts chapter 27, verse 15. And so as the ship was borne along by the wind, or driven by the wind, so the writers of Scripture were borne along by the Holy Spirit as they wrote these words of Scripture. It was not of themselves. They did not originate any of it. Thirdly here, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, that is, in many portions and in many ways, spake he in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he hath made the worlds. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. No one can successfully separate the living Word and the written Word. Jesus Christ being the living Word, who hath co-authored the living Word, the written Word. He hath in these last days spoken on us by his Son. The minor prophets, almost every last one of them, chapter 1, verse 1. You can look at them. You know, they are witnesses of the inspiration of the Bible. And you have the witness of the Bible to itself. Well, now some would say that this is an unacceptable witness. The Bible witnessing to itself. And yet, in our legal justice system, a person has the right to self-testimony. Self-testimony may be right and it might be wrong. It might be true and it might be false. But the point is, it needs to be heard. As you read the Old Testament, who do you sense is speaking? Over and over and over, over and over and over in the Old Testament. Who do you sense is speaking when you read the Old Testament? What do you read back there over and over and over? Thus saith the Lord. The word of the Lord came unto me saying. You read it over and over and over. This is how these human writers that were moved along and borne along by the Spirit of God and by the very breath of God, this is how they start their writings. Thus saith the Lord. The word of the Lord came unto me saying. And then they give what God gave them. You know, these three scriptures that we shared tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 2 Peter 1 and Hebrews chapter 1, these human writers, they all agree that it is God speaking. It is not they themselves. Just a few instances here, just a few cases in point. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 2. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 2. To whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. To whom the word of the Lord came. Verse 4 there. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. And I'm telling you tonight, you have this over and over and over. You have it 100 times in Jeremiah. Words like this. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying. Thus saith the Lord. Over 100 times in Jeremiah alone. In Ezekiel, it's over 60 times. Words like this. The word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying. It goes on and on. I'll give you another one. Isaiah. And notice they start their prophecy out with this. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 10. Hear the word of Isaiah? No, it doesn't say that. It says, hear the word of the Lord. Ye rulers of Sodom, give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. You turn to the book of Leviticus, it's all through there. First chapter, verse 1, and then you just continue. James chapter 1 and verse 18. It says there, of his own will begat he us the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. I want you to notice something in Jesus' ministry. Matthew chapter 18 in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18. Hear the scripture, hear Jesus says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets, verse 17. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill, verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot, what's that? Or one tittle, what is that? Shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Notice how far Jesus goes in believing the scriptures to be inspired. A jot. It refers to the smallest Hebrew letter. Tittle refers to the tiny ornaments that distinguish one letter from another. Like in our English letters, the O and the Q. And the Q has that little line, and it distinguishes it. We know it's a Q because of that little thing instead of an O. That's a tittle. Jesus obviously believed there were no errors in the scriptures. Yes, Jesus believed in verbal inspiration, meaning that even the words were inspired. Not just the thoughts, but the words, every one of them, every part of every word. The words were inspired, not just the thoughts. Every word and every letter and every little mark, every jot and every tittle. God's word is completely authoritative tonight. And that is what a lot of mankind tries very hard to get away from. There's a psalm that, I don't know, it's a favorite one for me, this one verse. Psalm 138, listen to what this says. Psalm 138, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. That's getting pretty strong. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God's word is completely authoritative because it is completely true. And because it is completely God-breathed. My newest edition of The Trapper. I get a little paper once a month. It's sometimes in the summer, it's every 2 months, but about 10 a year. Get this little paper called The Trapper. And there's some really good stuff in there from people that give God credit for all the creatures, for all the animals and all the birds. Well, I just read an article, and I think I'm going to write to the editor, because I really believe that 9 out of 10, maybe even 99 out of 100 readers like me, believe in the God of creation. But there was a thing in there about the lowly opossum, and this trapper was trying to lift up the opossum. Don't count it as trash, but learn to do things with it, including he said he ate one time. Anyways, sorry about that. It really isn't that bad, but probably isn't. I better watch what I say. I don't think I ever had any. I've had raccoon. Ha. And beaver, but I don't think I ever had possum. But this man, he said, like any other fur bear, he likes to research their history. Well, soon that article was going into the hundreds of thousands of years and even the millions of years. Oh, God have mercy. People want away from the authoritative word of God. And that is an attempt by the evolutionists to get away from it, to not be accountable to it, to not be held to it, to not have to answer to it someday. But it just really leaped out at me, and this can't be. I've got to write a letter. Anyhow, in a miraculous way, God used human writers. Yet every word of the original manuscripts was his own. How about Jesus' temptation in the wilderness? Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 to 11. Jesus was in a real battle here against Satan. Let's look at a couple of those verses. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3 says, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." He had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He was hungry. But Jesus answered and said, "It is written." Do you and I use that? Do you and I practice that? Brother Ken recently really helped me in a phone conversation to apply the scripture there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, about bringing every thought into the captivity of Christ. And that's exactly what Jesus did here. You know, these temptations, these thoughts from the enemy. He answers quickly, "It is written." Satan, "It is written. I go by what is written. What is written is my defense. What is written is what is true. It is the God-breathed word. And man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Well, the devil's not done any. Sets him up on a pinnacle of the temple, says unto him, "If you be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, you know what he said, "It is written." Jesus, the second time here in this battle, in this temptation against Satan himself, says, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And the devil tries again, takes him up in a high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, tempts him with them, "All these things I'll give you if you'll fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written," the third time, "It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." When the world tempts us with its allurements and with its pathetic pleasures that are so temporary, we must remember that we are crucified onto the world and the world onto us. We must remember that, no, I can't do that because I'm dead to that. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Nevertheless, not I, but Christ liveth in me, in that whole verse. And it's countless. We are children of God. We are sons and daughters. And there are scriptures for them all. "Satan, you have no part of me. I am God's child." And here's the scripture for it. The precious scriptures, the inspired word of God, comes to our defense and leads us to victory and gives us victory. And verse 11 says, "The devil leaveth him." The devil leaveth him. Not just anyone's words would have that effect. We have powerful words. We have the Word of God. We have powerful words to basically tell Satan to get lost. Get thee behind me. It is written. We're to serve the Lord and Him only. Jesus stood on the absolute authority of God's word. And so can you and so can I. Christ's own life, death, and resurrection fulfilled so many Old Testament prophecies, proving the inspiration of Scripture. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It says in the Psalms, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Consider with me tonight the witness of history to the inspiration of God's word, the fact that God's word is God-breathed, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, the history of the Christian church. It always acknowledged the Bible as the inspired word of God until recently. Only in modern times have leaders within the Christian church attacked the inspiration of the Bible. They had not done that for centuries and centuries. Some people today say the Bible contains the Word of God. Brother and sister, tonight, sinner, friend, whoever you are, the Bible is the Word of God. And it has the words of life. It has the words of abundant life in Jesus Christ. It has the answers to life. It has the hope that we need beyond this life and beyond the grave. It does not contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. To be careful with that, to say the Bible contains the Word of God would be saying that it is not all the Word of God. It is all the Word of God. Remember tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 3, I think verse 16, all Scripture is given by God's breath, inspired by God. The apostles had authority. This was carried over to their writings. Their teaching was not their own, but was Christ. The apostles' writings and their teachings were not their own. They were Jesus Christ's teachings that they faithfully wrote down and handed down. Another note in history, during the age of the Reformation, after centuries of spiritual darkness, anyone who pretended to be an authority was judged by his submission to the Word of God. That is history. Anyone who pretended to be an authority was judged by his submission to the Word of God. Another note in history, persecution. The Bible's radical transformation of people. You go right back to the 12 disciples and how scared they were and how they all fled Jesus. Even Peter said, "I don't know the man." They were scared. But later, when they realized that Jesus came forth from the grave and then he rose again as he said he would, they were willing to die for their belief and their faith in him. And so that's another proof of the inspiration of Scripture. Persecution, the transformation of people, that they would suffer torture and they would suffer death, all kinds of hardship, rather than deny Jesus Christ and Bible truth. Also, there have been many attempts to destroy the Bible. You have a Bible tonight, would you hold it up? Praise God. They did not destroy the Bible. Hallelujah. You have it here in your hands tonight. The Word of God hath prevailed. It hasn't gone anywhere. 300 years ago, Voltaire, the French skeptic, said it took 12 men to start Christianity. He said, but I will destroy it within 100 years. The Bible will be forgotten. Voltaire's very house has since been used to store thousands of Bibles. The Bible is alive and well. Voltaire is not. Lenin expected to see the funeral of all religion. Guess who is dead? The Bible's not. I saw you hold it up tonight. The inspired word of God is alive and well. The reformer and martyr William Tyndale did much to bring us the treasure of the English Bible. I know my wife dug a lot of this up. William Tyndale. He did a lot to bring us about the English Bible we have today. And he said, and I quote William Tyndale, "The scripture is that wherewith God draweth us unto him, and not wherewith we should be led from him. The scriptures spring out of God and flow unto Christ. Thou must therefore go along by the scripture as by line until thou come at Christ, which is the way's end and resting place." I like that so much, I'm going to read it again. William Tyndale, "The scripture is that wherewith God draweth us unto him, and not wherewith we should be led from him. The scripture spring out of God and flow unto Christ. Thou must therefore go along by the scriptures as by a line until thou come at Christ, which is the way's end and resting place." Clement of Rome said this, "Look carefully into the scriptures, which are the true utterances of the Holy Spirit." Justin Martyr said this, "We must not suppose that the language proceeds from the men who are inspired, but from the divine word which moves them." Irenaeus said this, "The scriptures are perfect inasmuch as they were uttered by the word of God and his spirit." And no, I do not take credit for digging those facts up. Scientific accuracy. And I think my help continues here. Scientific accuracy. There's a verse back there in Job. Good old Job. Job chapter 26 and verse 7. In Job's day, we're talking scientific accuracy. People believed that the earth rested on a platform supported by elephants, possibly, or by a mighty turtle, or by the big coil of an enormous snake. The earth supported on a platform supported by these creatures. It was believed. Job 26, verse 7. "He stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth on" what? "On nothing." Turn to the word of God for the answers. Turn to the word of God for the answers you need in your life right now, today. In Isaiah's day, people believed that the earth was four-cornered and flat. 500 years ago, just 500 years ago, Columbus was warned that he'd drop off the edge. Better watch what you're doing, Columbus. What does God's word say? Isaiah chapter 40. In verse 22, "It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth." and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. The word of God was way, 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 and is still way, way ahead of science. Nobody can match, nobody can touch, nobody can catch up to the word of God. The Bible's amazing composition. 40 human authors, 40 human writers, 66 different books. And from the first one written till the last one was written, over 1,600 years had gone by. And they were written from different countries. What does that sound like? Chaos. Utter confusion. But no, it's not. And those authors were so varied. Some were well-learned and some were not. Some were kings, some were fishermen. Some were herdsmen. One a doctor. Yes, you would expect great confusion. But what we have is one whole, complete unit from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22. I forget the verse number, but right through to the end, where it says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." And it says there, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Right from the beginning, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, right to the end of Revelation chapter 22. We have one whole complete unit that all agrees, one theme, man's problem. Man has sinned, and man's sin has separated him from a holy God, and man can in no way get back to God. And so God sent Jesus. Christmas, he sent Jesus the first time so that he could live that perfect life and be crucified and have the blood shed for the remission of our sins. There is one theme in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. It is the theme of redemption. It is the theme of man's sin and God's answer to that. God's answer of love and mercy and grace and all found and realized through Jesus Christ. One complete unit, the Word of God, 66 books, 40 different writers, one theme. Brothers and sisters, this Word of God is what you and I want to embrace and believe more than ever, and hold dear and more precious to our hearts than ever. It will see us from here to glory. God bless you.
I'd just like to read one verse in closing. Glenn's talking about the Word of God lasting forever. And I found this verse in Psalms 125, something else that will last forever. "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever." Let's stand together for prayer.